Welcome, everybody, to the Competition Archery Media Podcast, where we explore all things pertaining to competition archery. I'm your host, PJ Riley, and with us today, we got a special guest, Elite Pro Richard Bowen. Richard, thanks for being here today.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
So, Richard, the reason that I wanted to give you a call and talk to you about was you shot a killer score this past weekend at a tournament in Kansas City. Tell us what it was and what your accomplishment was.
Yeah, so the Kansas City Shootout is a pro-am type event that I've been going to for the last several years. It was actually the first tournament I attended that wasn't held at my local bow shop. I had to travel out of town to go to a bow shoot. The Kansas City Shootout was the first one I ever went to. And I actually got lucky and got third at that shoot after a pretty lengthy shoot off with Richard Potter. So
nice.
I really, was tickled with that result, and it kind of boosted my confidence to go to Vegas and bigger shoots and kind of just keep pursuing this. But it's run by some good folks, and I really have a lot of friends that go to it every year, and it's kind of an annual hangout with my buddies and get to shoot again. And we shot a 5-spot round on Saturday, scored as a 360, and then Sunday's Vegas round is scored as a 330. And I did mess up on Saturday and shot a 59, or a 359, I guess it would be in their format. But then Sunday's round, I made a change and pulled out the new release. I was using a hinge on Saturday, and just, I never really got in my rhythm, and the shots weren't feeling smooth. It really wasn't going great. And literally during the practice ends of the Vegas round on Sunday, I pulled out the trigger, and I've always just kind of shot a trigger easier. It comes easier for me. I don't really have to hammer the routine home as hard as I do when I'm shooting a hinge. It just kind of seems to happen easier. And 30 shots later, they were all in the X, and it wasn't beautiful. It wasn't the prettiest 30X I've ever seen put down, but on the scorecard, it looked great. So I was super happy, kind of taken aback when it was all over. Like, I can't believe it. That just happened. But
is there such a thing as an ugly 30X?
I don't think so. People that say there is are just mad because they didn't shoot one.
That's right.
I was tickled to death. I was very happy with it.
So making a change like that, I mean, even at your level, you just, something didn't feel right. And so you just went with it.
I have been practicing since back in the fall quite a bit. I changed release companies to Scott, and I got, the new ones and wanted to get real familiar with them kind of ahead of the game before everything got canceled. So even back in October, November, I was starting to get stuff out and shoot it and just try to build some familiarity with the different models and different releases. And, I'm crazy. I'll switch all the time on something like that if I have confidence in it. And I've had confidence in pretty much every one of them I've shot. But that morning, I just thought, I knew how the shots the day before were feeling, and I didn't think it was going to go great when you go down to, counting that X on the Vegas face as an 11. I thought, I'm going to be dropping them left and right if I keep this up. So I pulled out the trigger, and my shot process with a thumb trigger is just a little bit cleaner, and it's just real simple. I mean, I try to keep it as basic as I can, and it really worked that day. And it just all kept them in there. There was at least two, maybe three, that the second the shot broke, I was already in my head saying, that's going to be a half shaft 10 easy. I knew it wasn't going to be a terrible shot, but there was no way that was going to catch the X. And then lo and behold, we walked down there, and it's still hanging the edge of the X. So
those really are the great days.
My setup has got some forgiveness in it that really, it really shined in that round on Sunday.
Those are the great days. Those are the days better than the ones, oh man, I nailed that. And you go down there, oh, it's just out.
Yeah, I had some of those the day before that thought, that didn't feel that bad. But the next day on Sunday, it's kind of just the opposite. Everything just seemed wanted to go in the middle, even when I did my best to mess it up.
Yeah. And so we should mention, you won the tournament. Or did they have a pro division tournament? Is that what you won?
Yes, there was a pro division there. There wasn't a great turnout, but there was still some heavy hitters there, and I was tickled to be able to beat them with that score. A 689 will play about anywhere, but some days it takes something like that to win.
That's awesome. So, Richard, one of the other reasons besides that awesome round I wanted to talk to you is I've never talked to you before. I've seen you at the shoots and stuff, and I wanted to introduce people because what I know is I've seen you the last couple of years. Vegas shootdowns, NFAA, you know, if there's a big indoor shoot, you're in the mix late in the last couple of years. But you are a biologist, I believe, for Arkansas Fish and Game?
Yeah, wildlife biologist for the Arkansas Game and Fish Commission. And I've kind of been doing it for the last several years. There's actually, I was one of those kind of weird kids that knew exactly what they wanted to do when I was about 12. and when I first got out of college, it just didn't pan out to have a position available where I was from. I would have had to move off away from home. And I took a different position, still with the state of Arkansas, just a different agency in the environmental field. And then met a colleague actually at a softball game. And he informed me of an opening that was coming up, and I put in for it and I got it. And my my area is right here where I grew up, where I'm from. And it's been wow, a real blessing.
That's awesome. What do you specialize in there? What sort of things do you do? I think today you said you were burning, doing some controlled burns.
Right. We were actually prepping an area for a controlled burn that we're going to try to hold here in the near future if the weather and the conditions cooperate. But that's one of the best things about this job, is it's so varied from day to day of what you might be doing that it's never going to get boring or monotonous. I mean, yeah, it can be anything from working on, you know, feral hog eradication or CWD testing and sampling. We have wildlife management areas that we manage, you know, with planting and herbicide application and things like that. So it can be different things every day. It never gets old. So yeah, that's one of the best things about it.
So when do you have time to practice archery?
In the evenings, usually, you know,
try to
fit it in before dinner or something.
Yeah. How long have you been shooting competitively? When did you get into it?
I've shot a bow my whole life, but it was mostly for hunting. I was a real avid bow hunter as a kid, and I was just enamored with it. I read every article I could find in the bow hunting magazines when they came in, and that was really the extent of my knowledge, is what, you know, Bill Winky or one of the outdoor writers would write in the article about how to up your bow hunting accuracy. And I always enjoyed shooting 3D courses and sometimes tournaments, but mostly just to go shoot a fun round in preparation for hunting season. And six or seven years ago, I think, when I attended my first major tournament, and I had kind of gotten into shooting indoors at that time just to fill in the gaps between shooting in the summertime and then hunting season. And the indoor game just was instantly kind of addictive, and try to always want to go in there and better your personal best from the last time.
You right. know?
And so, and I do go to several ASAs, but in the summertime, it's harder to get away from work and family obligation. And it's just more difficult to travel for the 3 or 4 days to make an ASA tournament. But I'm hoping to be able to make more this summer now and try to be more competitive on the 3D side of things as well, because that's really how I got started with shooting 3D. It's just, I just pursued the indoor stuff because it's in the winter and things are slower. It's easier to go to those tournaments. And that's where I've had my best opportunities.
What division do you shoot in ASA? Known Pro or unknown?
Known Pro.
Yeah. Known Pro.
I shot K50 when it was called K50, but now it's Known Pro.
Gotcha. So as we mentioned, my view from looking at you from the outside is, okay, Richard Bowen, he seems to be like an indoor specialist, because that's, I mean, you're making the Vegas shootdown. I think you said the last four NFA indoor nationals, you made the finals.
Right.
And the last three Vegas, you made the finals. What is your, let's start with Vegas. What's your best finish there?
Fourth.
Fourth,
I've been,
okay.
I think fourth, fifth, fifth, something like that. In indoor nationals, I've been second, third, second. And then Vegas is, I think, fourth, fifth, fifth, something to that effect.
Gotcha. So tell me about that. Okay, you go to the Kansas City tournament, and it's some of your friends and a local shoot for you, kind of. You go to Vegas. How is that different, especially when you get to the shoot off?
For me personally, the shoot off was almost like a whole separate tournament, because you're there with the mindset, just getting to the shoot off is actually the big objective. You know, shoot clean on Friday, Saturday, and then make it through that monster of a round on Sunday when you're still clean. And once you shoot that last one on Sunday, you kind of feel like you've already won to an extent, because you shot a 900 at Vegas. And then the shoot off is really just an extra little prize to have fun with at the end. I've tried to learn over the years and through experience to just not let it overwhelm you too much, because ultimately when it's done and you're back in your room or on the plane ride home, you would inevitably think to yourself, oh, I wish I could do that again. I wish I could go back and just kind of relax and enjoy the moment and do it now that I know what to expect, to actually have fun with it a little bit. And so after that first one, that's kind of what I've tried to do, is just relax. And it's still a blur. It honestly is. It's such a crazy experience to walk out there and have that arena full of people, and the way they do the lights and the introductions. And then, you know, even just shooting for score out there with the lights out, and they got big spotlights on the bales, and everything looks different. It feels different. It's crazy. But then when it's over, it's something you're never going to forget. That's something that's just kind of burned in your memory that will be there forever, you know? So I love it. I really do.
More pressure in that finals there, or when you're nearing the end of your 900 round?
The end of the 900 round, for sure. For me personally, I can't even describe the nerves I feel on Sundays at Vegas when you're still clean and, you know, you have a chance to make the shoot off. It is a crazy round to try to navigate your way through. And it's almost like a weird little dance you have to do with yourself, because the first end is hard. If you're fortunate enough to get through it, you're into the second, third, fourth ends, and you approach the switch from top to bottom target, or top or bottom to top target, whatever. And you're trying not let that throw you off. And then you start closing in, and you get to that sixth and seventh end, you're like, okay, I got 8, 9, 10. Now we're just down to the final six, now the final three. And you're really just coaching yourself through, like, just pretend like it's practice. Don't let it get in your head or get crazy. Just shoot them like you've been shooting the last 57, or, you know, whatever it is from the day before. Just keep doing it. Do what you're doing and don't let it get in your head. And when that last one goes in there and it's over with, it's quite an emotional release for me personally. Oh, I try to not embarrass myself on the floor out there, but it's quite an ordeal to put that 90th one in the 10 and be done, and know that you get to go to the shoot off later that night.
I can't even imagine. But in Kansas City, you shot a 30X. I mean, at Vegas, boom, that's as good as it gets. What's your best 300 round X count at Vegas?
Oh, that's painful, because my best X count at Vegas was a 29X299.
Oh, so, ouch.
Yeah, that was a couple years ago on a Saturday, and I was trucking right along. It was going great. And somewhere just past the halfway point, I think I threw one out into the nine. Oh. And then the rest of the day, they all went back in the same hole. And then Sunday, I shot a 300 with a decent X count. So that one shot, you know, was kind of just a train wreck for some reason. But on a clean round, a good 300 round, I think I've shot a 28X. And then last year, I shot a couple 27s. Friday's with 27, Saturday's with 27, Sunday, I believe, was a 25. And that was a miracle. Sunday was pretty sloppy, but I'll take a 25 at Vegas anytime.
Hands probably shaking a little more on Sunday, I would imagine.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, this is crazy. And I made a mistake one time. I don't know if it was last year or year before. I got the bright idea I was going to run to the restroom real quick before we started scoring. And we had shot their first end of practice. I had shot my second end of practice, and the other line, the top or bottom, whichever it was, they were shooting their practice. And I thought, now's a good time to go to the restroom. And I left the arena floor, ran up the stairs and went to the restroom. And as I'm coming back down the stairs, they blow the whistle for us to take the line and shoot our first arrows for score. And
oh, man.
Run, grab my quiver, throw it on real quick, grab my bow. And then when I get to my spot, I'm huffing and puffing because I was in such good shape. Climbing the stairs and running back out. I was so winded, I couldn't breathe. But I kind of just held back when the whistle blew and they start shooting. I held off and let my breathing calm down before I shot that first arrow. But that would have been really something to miss one, because I decided to go to the bathroom at that time.
That'd be a tough one to explain to everybody back home.
I'm a pretty smart guy sometimes.
So this year we don't have Vegas, which I'm sure is disappointing to you, but we got some other stuff. I believe you're registered for the Show Me tournament.
Yes, the Show Me Showdown and the Rushmore Rumble both.
Gotcha. And you're in preparation phase for that. Where do you stand as far as those two tournaments go now?
My setup is pretty much, I'm going to leave it alone. I would be crazy to mess with my bow or anything right now, because it's shooting better than I can shoot. So I just need to get my muscle memory built back up again. December was a rough month around here. We had several, we got three little kids, and they had between sicknesses and quarantines and then sickness coming through me and my wife. We didn't really have a chance to leave the house or do much for a few weeks in a row right prior to this time we're in now. So I'm still, I don't feel like I'm physically really back where I want to be, you know, in mid-season form right now. So I really need to just be shooting regularly, trying to build up the muscle memory and the stamina that I'd like to have going into those tournaments. But that my setup is pretty much locked in. I'm not going to mess with that.
Yeah, let's talk about that now. You're shooting elite, obviously. Let's run through your setup.
Yeah, so I'm shooting the Result 36 this year with the 75% mods on it. I've switched to the CBE Elevate Sight, the Hamski, which is something new for me. I've never shot a fallaway in a tournament application before. I've used a fallaway hunting, you know, for years, but the fallaway for the competition side is something new, and it's working great. It's amazingly simple and rugged. I'm always kind of leery of the long cord, you know, going to the bottom limb.
Is that one of the hybrids, or is it the new Primer or Trinity? Which one?
This is the Hybrid Target Pro.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
I have the Trinity as well, and I like it just as much. I just have it on a different bow. This one happened to get the hybrid put on it. But it's been great. I've been super pleased and impressed with how good this rest really works and how easy it is. I've always just kind of thought there was a lot more to it than I wanted to mess with, because I've been a stationary blade shooter for years and just like to keep it simple.
Yeah.
And this thing has been rock solid and super dependable, easy to work on and easy to tune if you want to make a small adjustment. Bee Stinger stabilizers, Gold Tip Triple X arrows, and my Scott releases. So that kind of rounds out the whole setup.
What's your weight back and front? How much are you running?
I actually have taken a little bit off from what I was running last year. So Indoor Nationals back in September up at Yankton was another scenario I found myself in where I wasn't really prepared. I had been getting ready to go on an elk hunt out west and had not been shooting my target rig hardly at all, but shooting my hunting bow. So we were in Colorado for about a week and a half. I got home from that trip and was home for 4 days and then had to go to Yankton for the First Dakota Classic and the Indoor Nationals. And when I got there, my bow felt like it weighed 10 pounds. I couldn't hardly even lift it up. And I was just, it was just not being in shape, you know, for shooting that setup. So
yeah,
literally out in the parking lot, I took 4 or 5 ounces off the whole setup, borrowed an Allen wrench from somebody and took about half a turn out of the limb bolts and went in and shot a 60 on the 5-spot round and then cleaned the 3-spot to make the shoot off at that tournament. So I left it that way instead of going back super heavy, because I'm really not in any better shape now than I was then, really. So I may add to it, but I think on the front right now I have 17 ounces on a 27 inch front bar, and I have about the same on the back bar, 16 looks like on the back bar, which is a 12 inch.
Gotcha. And Elite is new to you this year?
Yes, I have shot Elite in the past. My very first Vegas I ever went to was with the E35, actually, and shot an 899 out there with that. But then, yes, I had Elite last year. This is the second year with Elite.
Well, second year. Okay, gotcha. Those bows suit you?
Absolutely. I really feel like that's one of the best things about them is the options you have for making the fit exactly how you want it. It's the rotating module on these cams that you can get a 1/4 inch change on has let me experiment and try different draw lengths that I've never really had the chance to try before, because right, it really required a module change. It's a 1/2 inch jump, which is kind of a coarse adjustment when you're trying to fine tune the fit of something. So the 1/4 inch rotating modules allow you to make a change that you can put it right back if it doesn't work, and then, you know, keep tweaking on things. And I feel like that's been a really big key to being consistent, is finding this the exact same or the exact fit setup that fits you ideally. You know, if you look at competition shotguns or competition rifles, one of the things they have in common is they're either custom made to you and your specifications, or the stocks are so adjustable and modular to make them fit you exactly how you want them to fit you. Whether it's, you know, the cheek piece or the shoulder length, whatever it is, they need to be customizable to be a custom fit for that shooter. And I think our setup here with the Elite bows, between the cable stop option, limb stop option, different let offs and holding weight options, and the rotating modules, this is as close as you can get to a custom fit setup as what I think there is on the market right now.
Right.
And people just have to have the audacity to try it. You know, you got to be willing to turn a wrench and move it a little bit, yeah, and try. And then if it don't work, put it back. But I think people can try these bows and find, like myself, I'm shooting about a 5/8 inch longer draw length now than I was in the past.
How about that?
And I just never tried it because it just, I thought I knew what I was. So when I'd order a bow, I would order that length. And then to go more than just a fuzz shorter by twisting the string, or maybe a fuzz longer, it was really a hassle. And I thought, that's not my draw length. So I wouldn't want to pursue it. And you can really pursue a different fit and feel with these bows, and you're not giving up anything or costing you anything. Just, you know, turn some screws and adjust that module and try it. I think it really would surprise people what a difference it makes finding the draw length that is just locked in with what you like the best.
That's an excellent explanation. I love that, of not being afraid to experiment with stuff. Just because you've done it this way doesn't mean that's right or that something isn't better. And there's only one way to find out.
Yeah, I feel like a good test on your bow is to, if you haven't shot it in a while, it's been a few days since you shot, go out and pull it with your eyes closed and see how it feels, and then open your eyes and see if everything's lined up. If it fits you the way your body wants it to be fit, and you haven't shot your bow in 3 or 4 days, you know, go out there and pull it. And if when you open your eyes, everything's lined up, the peep's in the right spot, everything feels good, then it probably fits you pretty well. But I bet a lot of people would find that, you know, they have to even subconsciously tweak a little something to get it where they want it to be. And, you know, when you shoot every day, you kind of just subconsciously automatically make those little tweaks. You'll bring your shoulder up, you know, whatever it is. But if you haven't shot in a few days and you've kind of forgot, you'll pull back subconsciously and do what you want to do and check and see, does your bow fit you when you do that or not? You know,
that's great. Power lens. What are you shooting there in your scope?
I'm shooting a 4-power lens with a small black dot that, on a Vegas target, it fills the 10 ring. The one I shot last weekend is actually slightly smaller than what I typically use, and it was simply an experiment, but it fits inside the 10 ring on a Vegas target with the 4-power lens.
Gotcha. Clarifier, any glass in the peep?
No clarifier. I run a fairly small aperture. I wish I could tell you exactly what it is. It's maybe second or third from the smallest that Specialties Archeries offers for the peep there, but no clarifier. I've tried a 0.5 and it does really make the target super clear, but I get blur in my pin or my dot if I do that. And with the smaller aperture, I can get clarity on both. I just lose a little bit of light. So as long as I can still have enough lighting to see, with the small aperture, I get kind of clarity on both the dot and the target at the same time.
You probably open that up when you go to 3D.
I have. I probably will. I'll go to a blue pin as well instead of a dot, and then maybe go to a slightly larger aperture.
Gotcha. Okay. So that then your sight picture, as you mentioned, you do have a clear dot and a clear target.
For the most part, yeah. Something else I tried at Kansas City, which was new to me, was a blinder. This is actually a homemade version here, the prototype. It's a one of my little girl's hair clips and a piece of plastic that I stuck on there so that it kind of blinds my left eye. But I've always had an issue with my dot wanting to kind of blur out on me after about the first 3 or 4 seconds of acquiring the target. I would have a small window of time where I could see my dot and the target really well with both eyes open and have maximum brightness and clarity and everything. But then after that window of time, the dot would slowly kind of start to wash out on me, and I'd have to either squint or, you know, reacquire the picture again to see the clarity. And by running this blinder, I can actually keep both eyes open and my dot never washed out on me. So
gotcha.
I've actually ordered another one of these from Lancaster. That's the clear kind of opaque lens. I'm hoping we'll do the same thing, but not make everything quite as dark, because having this black over your eye, I did see quite a bit of light loss by having that one eye looking into that thing. So it's kind of a trade-off, but I'm hoping the more opaque blinder will still let some light through and not make the picture quite as dark as what the black one does.
I don't know if you saw it last year, but Tim Gillingham came out with some hat that he modified with himself that had two flaps on each side.
He said his I've seen Nathan Brooks, he's modified a hat with a little fabric flap that falls down and put it back. I think he had issues with the wind moving it while he was aiming, though. Sometimes the fabric wasn't rigid, so it'd kind of blow and flutter.
Tim said his wife wouldn't let him wear it when she was around because it was pretty ugly.
But Tim doesn't care. That's the beautiful part about it. He doesn't mind a bit looking silly or different, you know.
As he's beating everybody out there, he said, yeah, go ahead and laugh.
Yeah, you can buy one tomorrow for $9.99.
So for you, Richard, I'm sure it's not, you got a family there, you've got a full-time job that I'm sure is demanding. How do you, well, I guess I'll start with why. Why would you put archery, especially at that level, into that mix there? What is it about you that you're like, man, I just like doing this?
I really, really love shooting my bow. That's probably the biggest part about it is, even when I was a kid and didn't know anything about this world of it, it was just something to go do in the yard. There was just something about shooting arrows that it really jived with me, you know, on a personal level, and I loved it. And even to this day, shooting my bow really calms me down and helps me to kind of unwind. And like, for instance, at the Vegas shoot, prior to us getting called out to shoot the shoot off, we were kind of backstage. They had bales back there we can shoot on to warm up or stay loose or whatever. And I'd be shooting the whole time, just never stop shooting. And people would say, do you want to sit down and relax before we go out there? And my response was, this is how I relax. If I was sitting in that chair, I would be a ball of nerves. And at least I'm shooting my bow. I kind of feel somewhat normal. The competition side of it, and since starting out at ground zero, like I told you, when I attended that first Kansas City shoot, I met some people I had watched online, you know, for a while prior to me getting involved in it and really looked up to, you know, I met Scott Starnes, Richard Potter, Nathan Brooks, guys that I had seen just, you know, really shooting at a high level and thought, man, that is amazing. That's incredible. They can shoot like that.
Yeah.
And getting to meet them in person and visit with them and, you know, see the human side of them was just an amazing experience for me. And then I went to Vegas that first time and, you know, saw more guys that just could shoot at an incredible level that it was inspiring. You know, instead of making me kind of want to slink back and be like, that's never something I'll be able to do. It was almost like, that is awesome. I love seeing them shoot like that and seeing these guys shoot a bow in a manner that just doesn't seem possible to hit something that small that many times in a row. You know, if I hit something that small, it's probably a fluke, and they're out there doing it literally 30 times in a row. And it just seemed incredible. And it was intimidating to go try to shoot with them in the beginning, but then slowly you start to feel a little bit more comfortable, a little bit more like maybe you somewhat belong and you're not going to get found out as an imposter who doesn't need to be there with these guys. But I think competitive archery has brought an aspect to my life that has been a huge blessing. You know, it's something that kind of teaches you to get out of your comfort zone sometimes and go do something, even if it kind of scares you to death, you know, which I have felt plenty of times in this game. But then when you come out to the side of it, you're always like, that wasn't so bad. Next time I'm going to let myself just do my thing and not get in my own way and be nervous. You know, I remember playing sports as a kid so many times when the game was over, you got home, you'd have that little bit of a twinge of regret of like, man, I could have done better if I had really just like been more aggressive or let myself go, not been so timid and afraid of making a mistake, you know. And now in this game of archery, especially indoor archery, 99% of our mistakes come from the fear of making a mistake. You get scared you're going to miss and you get tense, you get locked up, you can't make your release go off, and lo and behold, you miss, you know. And if you just go out there with as little fear as you can muster and let yourself shoot and get out of your own way, it almost feels easier. It feels almost effortless, like it just flows and everything just kind of works. Well, that same aspect applies to so many other parts of life too. You know, whether it's a job interview or personal relationships. You know, when you come into anything with a belief in yourself, like, I can do this, I can handle this, it's nothing over my, you know, abilities, and you just let yourself perform, I think everybody would realize they can do things they're really not thinking they can do right now. But if they would just get out of their own way and do it. Anyway, that's what indoor archery and competitive archery in general has kind of taught me, is to just open up, let yourself do your thing. And then also, you know, with my young kids, I have two young boys and a little girl, they're playing sports and doing activities now. And I see them sometimes acting like they're holding themselves back for the fear of, you know, failure, fear of making a mistake, whatever. And I want to take the lessons I try to teach them and walk the walk, and you'll let them see dad go out and do something that scares him to death, but he still goes out and does it, you know, and then see, like, yeah, it's scary, but it's fun. It's all right. Nothing's going to you know, happen to me. If I miss an arrow, I'll still come home and things are fine. If you miss a shot in your basketball game, things are going to be fine. The world goes on, and, you know, we'll get better from it. So
that's awesome. Yeah.
Those lessons and those feelings I've gotten from the tournaments, the failures and the successes, has really been like something I get a lot from, and I want to keep doing it.
It's funny. I'm sure everybody out there listening who shoots can relate to shooting a bad arrow, and then you come back and you're like, I'm just going to shoot this one. And usually that's like the best shot.
It goes right in the middle.
Because you're not afraid of missing. You're like, well, right. I'm just going to shoot this one. And then it's a good shot.
Yeah. I tell myself stuff like that all the time. Like, if you can trick yourself into thinking you've already dropped an X, you'll shoot so much better than thinking you're still clean and go, don't miss, you know?
Yeah.
So you have to trick yourself into just relaxing and letting yourself shoot. And then it just seems to roll along.
Do you have any mental training that you do? Any practice or things that you do, you know, when you're not shooting, to kind of get you into mental shape for archery?
I have a lot of conversations with myself, but I don't know if it's constructive or not. I did read the book With Winning in Mind, you know, by Lanny Basham back when I first started this whole thing. And I did take away a lot of things from that book that really opened my eyes to the benefits of a positive mental attitude in any kind of competition, really. But in this game is so mental that the benefits you get from a mental mindset, a positive mental mindset, are huge, I feel like. And so I try to stay positive, don't focus on the negative or, the fear of failing and missing an arrow, you know, being out of the tournament like Vegas is. If you miss one tournament or one arrow in that tournament, you're done. That's a terrifying feeling. And I felt that a lot in the first 3 years I went. I shot an 899 and just could not seem to get it together for 3 days. But I was terrified the whole time of missing an arrow, you know? And I think finally I just got sick of it and thought, I'm not going to be too afraid to shoot my bow and go out there and shoot. And then finally I stumbled through 3 days and found myself clean at the end of it, you know? But it's a lot of just managing the fear, managing the anxiety, the stress, and finding a way to drum up that A game when you need it the most, you know, and not be 5 or 6 X's below what you shoot in practice, which is terribly frustrating, you know, when you know you can do better.
Yeah, you probably shoot 300s without even thinking about it at home in practice.
Yeah, you know, a lot of guys do a lot, and then they go to a tournament and it seems borderline impossible. And that's something that that feeling, I hate that feeling of knowing you did not perform up to your abilities. You know, if I go out there and get outshot by someone that's just a better shooter, and there are a lot of them out there, but if I shoot the best I can shoot and he beats me, that's fine. I mean, I'm not going to say that's painless, but it's way more painless than going out there and shooting a subpar performance for yourself and then still losing. You know, that's borderline unacceptable in your mind. Like, that can't happen. I have to at least do the best I can do. And then if I get beat, I get beat, you know, and that's okay. I've overheard conversations with guys at tournaments that were kind of going over their routine, what they do when they get a dozen arrow shafts, and the sorting process and the culling process, and then floating them in a bathtub or doing things to find a certain spine. And then, I mean, weighing every shaft down to the half a grain, and the preparation they do on their arrows, and thinking, gosh, I don't do any of that. I should really probably step my game up on my arrow preparation. But then that same individual go up there and just, you know, when he's time to shoot, just, you know, punching and jerking and flinching. And I just feel terrible for him. Like, gosh, if you could take the tenacity at which you go after this arrow preparation and apply that to your shot execution and just, you know, I think they would find it paid dividends to go up there and shoot a good executed shot and not worry so much about the fine little technical details of their setup. You know, there's definitely a place for that. Don't get me wrong. These bows are shooting machines and being proficient with it technically is important. But I feel like most people could probably benefit more by spending their time working on what between their ears and mastering a good, smooth, well-executed shot versus, you know, just driving themselves crazy with other things that, you know, probably do help for sure, but aren't maybe not going to make the big difference that, you know, a mental overhaul could.
What would, if they didn't do that though, what would Tim Gillingham have to go on and talk to people online about?
Tim's a different animal. He's operating on a different level than the rest of us, I'm afraid. I don't know if we'll ever catch that.
Gotcha. I'm sure winning Vegas is a goal of yours, but in your words, where do you hope this archery competition will take you? What goals do you have? You set goals for yourself like that?
Well, yeah, winning Vegas is definitely, that's the biggest thing. And not just for me, my kids, they talk about it all the time. That's kind of the only archery tournament they really can just rattle off the top of their head is the Vegas shoot. And they've got to watch me online in the shoot off the past 3 years, and they would just lose their mind if dad won Vegas. So, and dad would lose his mind if he won Vegas too, but that's definitely the biggest one. You know, I've been so close to get down to the final five is, that's like climbing Mount Everest, you know, for us archers. It's such a huge deal. It's a multi-day endeavor, and to get to that point and not quite win it, that burns. You know, you've been so close, and last year especially, it got down to the final five, and everyone had missed except me and Kyle. And Kyle got his third one in there. He's through to the next round. I had one arrow to go. I didn't know all this in the moment. This is looking back on it in hindsight, but my last shot hung up on me, and I could not get it to go off. And I had one little bobble, and of course, when I bobbled, it fired, and I missed the X. And I didn't know it at the time, but if I had hit that arrow, it would have been down to just me and Kyle, just like Indoor Nationals was at Yankton back in September. And I would have at least been second, and who knows how, you get the two of us out there, how that could have shaken out, but just so close. And I just got to keep hammering and keep getting there, because one of these days, if I keep doing that, luck will fall my way and it'll work out for me. But that's definitely the biggest one is winning the Vegas shoot. But I would love to be competitive in the ASAs, the indoor circuit, and even the field. I really like shooting field archery also, like the Outdoor Nationals they have up at Yankton. I've never been to Reading, but I hope to go to Reading this year also. And, you know, pursue that type of format, OPA, stuff like that, and be competitive in all the realms. I feel like that's a very respectable position to be in, someone that's a threat no matter the venue.
Right, right. I'm guessing the department is pretty good about you going to these shoots and stuff. That probably takes a lot of time.
Yeah, I do have a very, very understanding group of people around me, and just the position in of itself is pretty flexible, so that you know, I'm able to get stuff handled and get it done, travel to a tournament, come back and pick right up, you know, where we left off, and not have a pile of stuff waiting on me when I get back. So that's a big blessing too, to be able to travel and go do that and not come home to just a train wreck of other work you have to get done.
Yeah. You know? That's one of the things that intrigued me about you, is that I know you have this job with the department there, and it's just kind of an example to other people out there. You know, not everyone has that employment situation with the flexibility, but there are certainly people who maybe out there who have a job, and yeah, you can still do this, you know, shoot at this level, compete at this level. We posted a video today of some Kaylee Johnston highlights from last year. She's a full-time nurse, and you know, she, you know, shot incredible, won two ASAs last year, came in second in another. So it's just interesting.
I mean, there's a lot of guys out there that have jobs that shoot a bow and are outstanding at it, and if if it helps, you know, someone to pursue it a little bit more and go out there and, you know, get in right in the middle of the guys that do it for a living and, you know, give them all you got. That'd be cool if someone does that.
Awesome. Well, Richard, people who want to know more about you and find and follow you on your archery competitions, where can they find out more about Richard Bowen?
I have a Facebook page, and that's about it. I don't really do Instagram, Twitter, or anything else. I'm not a very good social media type person, but I do have a Facebook page that I try to post updates on, information about my equipment that I'm using and the ins and outs of how I'm using it and why, and
yeah,
they can find me there.
Give us your sponsors. Who are your sponsors besides Elite?
Oh, Elite, CBE, Scott, Elevation, Specialties Archery, Hamsky, Gold Tip Bee Stinger, Schleit Sight Lights is something I'm using this year. I've been really tickled with how they work. It's a super simple little system that you just turn the knob to the brightness you want, turn it back off when you're done. Waterproof, the battery seems to last forever. And it's just a neat little handy device there to control your pin brightness. So Schleit Sight Lights is something else I've been using lately. Hamsky, of course. I hope I'm not forgetting anybody. I hate it if I do, but that's all I can think of right now.
All right, folks, that is another episode of the Competition Archery Media Podcast. We certainly appreciate Richard Bowen's time. Richard, thanks for being here tonight.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We wish you the best of luck at these tournaments coming up. Hope to see you out there, especially at the ASAs this year, but good luck at the Show Me Showdown and at the Rushmore Rumble. We'll be following your scores.
Thank you very much.
All right, folks. Again, that is the Competition Archery Media Podcast. You can find us wherever you find all your favorite podcasts. Be sure and go back through the library. We've got lots of great interviews with folks like Richard out there. Thanks for being with us.